From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. This week, NPR and National Geographic are launching Climate Connections, a year-long exploration of how people are changing climate and how the climate changes people. To date, we'll hear about efforts to slow global warming. In a moment, one man's quest to bring about change from within one of the world's largest mining companies.
First, we go to Bangkok, where scientists, economists, and political leaders from more than 100 nations are meeting. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC, will release a report tomorrow outlining ways to reduce the amount of greenhouse gas we're pumping into the atmosphere. While the panel members agree that climate change is a huge problem, different countries have very different views on how to stop it. NPR's John Hamilton is in Bangkok waiting for tomorrow's report.
The city of Bangkok tells you a lot about why it's so hard to do anything about climate change. 12 million people live here. Every year, they use more electricity, which means burning more petroleum, natural gas, and coal. That's making the earth warmer. It's causing the oceans to rise. And for Bangkok, which is just a few feet above sea level, that will mean a future filled with devastating floods. Still, like the rest of us, people here want their cars and air conditioners and computers and flat-screen TVs, like you see in this shopping mall, and dozens like it all over the city. And they want economic growth so they can pay for all those things. Trying to find a workable balance between the need to address global warming and people's willingness to make changes is what the panel on climate change has been grappling with all week. The meeting began Monday. At a press conference that day, IPCC Chairman Rajendra Pachauri tried to sound optimistic.
Well, I think the nature of the subject is such that there will be a lot of intensive debate, and I'm sure we'll be able to resolve without major disruption in the proceedings.
Then the panel began its closed session with experts from around the world, Brazil and China, the U.S. and Indonesia, Pakistan and Nigeria. Before long, there was talk of major disagreements. One of the report's lead authors is Lenny Bernstein. He's a technology expert from the U.S. who spent 30 years working for the petroleum industry. He wouldn't violate the ban on talking about the proceedings until the report comes out, but he did explain why trying to deal with climate change is so daunting.
If you think about climate change and what we would have to do to really change carbon dioxide emissions, it gets down to a complete restructuring the global economy.
Bernstein says part of that restructuring means investing in expensive new technologies to keep carbon dioxide emissions from reaching the atmosphere.
China is adding one electric power plant roughly a week, and those are all coal-fired. Now, there's technology to handle emissions. It's called carbon capture and storage. Chinese are not installing that because it's an expensive technology, and right now they're trying to grow their economy as rapidly as possible.
But some of the economists here believe that it is possible for nations to balance economic growth and efforts to stop global warming. Joyshree Roy is a professor at Jadavpur University in Calcutta. She says eventually there will be a united effort against climate change.
I'm sure that there is going to be cooperation because everybody understands that if we do not cooperate, it's the survival of us at stake.
But Roy adds that real cooperation won't come until nations and individuals recognize that there are costs to not tackling climate change. She says it's like comparing a regular old incandescent light bulb with a fluorescent one.
They cost us high initially, but we know that the power consumption is less over its lifetime. So we do invest in that.
Because over time, that investment pays off by using less electricity. In Bangkok, you do see a lot of fluorescent light bulbs, which are efficient. You also see taxis running on natural gas. But over the past two decades, the amount of carbon dioxide produced by Thailand has more than doubled. John Hamilton, NPR News, Bangkok.